Jet Nation Radio. And here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. And we begin a dawn of a new era today here at Jet Nation as we've reborn ourselves here on Jet Nation Radio in the past couple months. We've seen some new faces. We've talked to Joe Namath. We have talked to plenty of Jets fans out there, of course, across our JetNation.com forum. But now we start a new chapter in our radio path today here at JetNation.com, and that is with our new host, Mr. Joe Blewett. He is going to be joining us here. And before we get going, Joe, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good, Brandon. How about you?
I'm doing great, man, and we got lots to talk about. There's so much to do. We actually have Christian Dyer who covers the New York Jets for the Metro New York newspaper, also on Comcast Sportsnet. So there's so much to do. We are in the midst of training camp right now. Position battles all over the place. Who is going to go where? Who's going to win that job? Who's going to make this team, and who's going to make the biggest impact? You know, when you're looking at the training camp right now, the biggest notes that we've seen come out from the writers who are out there, they're talking about the speed in the wide receivers, the speed on this roster, the pressure defense that Rex Ryan is developing. We're also seeing, you know, a lot of being said now, of course, about the Jets and their players making bold predictions and their players, you know, making bold comments. Dee Milliner coming out and saying how he believes that nobody's better than him. Rex Ryan following that up today, saying he doesn't have a problem with that. He says it's who we are, it's how we feel. He endorses boast by some of his players. Now, this got the Jets in some trouble in the past, making predictions, well, their coach making predictions, along with, their players in the past coming out and deciding to say some not nice things about players on the opposing teams come, the games of the week. Now, Joe, let's start it off. How do you feel about Jets players coming out and making comments like that? And more importantly, how do you feel about their coach backing up the brash comments made by players?
Well, first, Brandon, I'd like to start with Dee Milliner. See, I don't exactly have a problem with the comments that Dee Milliner made, because if somebody asks you if you think you're the best player or if you're the best player at your position, I don't think that anybody on your team, whether it be Muhammad Wilkerson to Stephen Hill to Jeremy Curley, whoever it is, or any Jets fan, I don't think that you'd want to hear one of the players on your team saying that they're not the best, because to be a professional athlete, I believe that you have to have the utmost confidence in yourself. And I don't see a problem with what he said, because this is how I look at it. If somebody asked him, "Are you the best player?" He came out and said, "No, I'm not the best player. I'm weak at backpedaling. I'm weak at press man coverage." You know, that would resonate a lot more with me. That would make me feel a lot more negative about my team. So for him to come out and be positive, I'm completely fine with that. I think his teammates like it. I think it gets them fired up. I think Rex likes it. I think it motivates them. I really don't have a problem with it.
But here's the problem: is we only hear these type of comments made by a guy like Dee Milliner, who knows that he's really not the best cornerback in the league. He knows he still has a lot of work to do. It seems to me, when you take out the Richard Shermans of the world and you take out, Peyton Manning doesn't tell everybody he's the best. Tom Brady doesn't tell everybody he's the best. Aaron Rodgers doesn't. You know, these players don't. When you're the best doesn't have to come out and say it. And I think that's the problem with the Jets sometimes. And I don't have a problem with Dee Milliner having confidence. I don't have a problem with Dee Milliner coming out and saying, you know, that he thinks he's the best cornerback in the league. Because guess what? If you go home at night and you don't think that you're the best at what you do, then you better get some more confidence in yourself, especially when you're talking about sports. But the Jets need to turn this new leaf. You know, they got rid of their circus-like atmosphere here with the newspapers and with the media. They've toned it down. They need to tone down this bravado in talking to the press. You don't see anybody else doing it. You don't see anybody else in the league having their players come out and saying things like this. The Jets need to scale it back I think, in terms of having these type of conversations, because all it is, there's no positives that come out of this other than you sitting there as a fan going, wow, D. Milliner thinks he's the best. And you know what, Joe? Let's be honest. We're sitting here in the back of our minds going, yeah, right. That's really what we're saying, are we not?
That's true. That's true, Brandon. I understand what you're saying, but I have to disagree. I think that other teams and players, they do say stuff like this. But because we're in New York and we're the New York Jets, and everybody
what second year quarterback who had four good games last year from another team is coming out and saying they're the best?
See, I guess that's true, but I think other people say it. It's just that.
You got your select people, like the people that I mentioned, you know, like people who want to make you know, seem that they're the best in the league. And it's such a blah statement almost is what I want to say. But it's like, because it's sort of like the same conversations when we were sitting here. How many times do you hear that term elite quarterback? You hear it all the time now. Oh, who's an elite quarterback? Who's elite? Is, you know, elite? And then you start talking about Eli Manning and that whole conversation that took over radio for almost a year. I mean, it's just a silly conversation. When you're the best in the NFL, you never hear that person say it. You don't.
I understand what you're saying, but I think with the quarterbacks, they don't do that as much because it's more of a high prestige kind of position.
I don't think Darrell Revis has come out and said anything like that. You never heard Darrell Revis come out and tell the New York Daily News, oh, "I'm the best cornerback in the league." He does it on the field. D. Milliner needs to be quiet.
Because if it's not this story, it'll be something else. Because I feel like the beat reporters in New York, they want to prove that we're a circus. Everybody likes to think that we're the circus. It's how they get reads. It's how people download their stuff. It's how they make their money. The only problem I have with it, the only thing I see negative of this, the only positive thing, first of all, is that I think it would pump up his teammates. The thing I see negative about it is that, you know, when we play Calvin or when he play matches up against Calvin Johnson week three, if Calvin gets two touchdowns, you know, 100 yards, it's going to be headlines all over the place. We already know that's going to happen now.
Says
he's the best and can't beat the best. So
these comments don't hold any weight, though. That's the thing. I don't think you will see it because these comments that were made by him, I don't even believe his teammates. His teammates are sitting there having the same thoughts we are. You're not even saying to themselves, you're not even close. That's the conversations that are being had.
If you were Muhammad Wilkerson or whoever on the team, would you want your guy to portray weakness? Would you want him to seem like he's teaching that he can't? Okay, so I feel like you want your teammate to say that. I would want him. I don't think you should portray the weakness. I think that you should show that you think you're the best, because in this league and in the NFL,
I think that's the only way
you can be the best.
Be quiet. That's what I think he should do. I think D. Milliner should answer a question like – that's exactly what I think he should do. I think he should answer a question like that and say, look, you know, I'm coming on to this team to take over the cornerback role. And we don't have any, you know, like give a nonchalant answer. Don't give people something to talk about. You don't need to do it. Because guess what?
I'd rather have that because, you know, that if that article didn't come out, it would just be another one about Michael Vick and Geno Smith. And to be completely
right.
off, I've been sick of that since the second day Michael Vick's been here. So
it's just another coaster
like
for
that.
The table. That's all it is. Just print it out and use it as a coaster for your table and you're good. Yeah.
Exactly. See, I don't think Jets fans are going to be that mad about it. If he comes out,
it's just silly. I think we have to stop. Like, and then it's and like I said, it's leading to, because it's not just one comment. It's like people aren't going to brush this off and say, well, you know, that's just D. Milliner talking about, you know, having some confidence. Because then it translates into Rex's press conference today. What do you think about your players endorsing themselves and talking about how great they are? You know, it's almost like it's not a trickle down effect because it's trickling up. It's going from your player to the coach. It'll probably go to the general manager. Hey, you know, John, what do you think about these players coming out and making comments? It's a never ending thing when all you have to do by not letting it happen like that is by just saying nothing. And that's what they need to learn. The best people in this league usually keep their mouths shut, and they have for football for a long time. That's how it is.
I just think it's hard to answer the question when you're asked, are you the best cornerback? Because honestly, how do you feel that he should answer the question, Brandon? What do you think he should say?
I think exactly. I think if I'm D. Miller, I say, look, I said, I know I'm gonna go out there and compete. I'm gonna take this number one cornerback role with the, you know, take the bull by the horns and get after it and have a great training camp, a great preseason. Done. You completely avoided answering that question head on. You completely avoided headlines. You completely avoided Rex Ryan answering questions about it the next day, and you completely avoided me and you sitting here talking about it. That's it. The Jets have to start dancing around these questions and stop answering. It's almost like you want to tell them stop answering the questions honestly, because that's how it works in sports media. You have to stop doing it. How many times Geno Smith, I think, has done a fantastic job of dancing around questions pertaining to this quarterback competition, if there even is one. Geno Smith dances around questions. When I was sitting there watching Geno Smith, when I got to do a face-to-face interview with him, he was getting questions. You know, what do you think about this competition? Do you think you're better than Michael Vick? And you know what he said? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to compete. I'm going to try and get better. Simple as that. A vanilla answer that answers the question but doesn't give people too much. That's the route that they need to take. Geno Smith, I think, has transformed. Because Geno Smith could come out tomorrow and say, look, I'm in a better state right now than Michael Vick is. This is my team. I'm the quarterback for this football team. I am the guy for this team. Michael Vick is a backup quarterback who is here in case something happens to me during the season. Could he come out and say that? Absolutely. But he's not going to do that because he's not going to stick his foot in his mouth and say something stupid like D. Milliner did. And that's where it comes from for me in terms of the Jets players need to grow up a little bit with the media.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're provoked, but I also think they're provoked by the media a little bit.
Everybody is. That's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the beast. Everybody is. You don't think the guys, you know, on the Giants are asked if they're the best players? Of course, everybody is. But it's a matter of how you answer the questions, and then it trickles down to Rex Ryan. It just becomes unneeded nonsense. Is really what it is. Stop telling people you're the best. You played four good games last year. You got benched more times than you got put in last year, and you got torched more times than you made good plays. You're not even in the top 10 in the league. You're a complete question mark coming into this season. Go prove yourself. Go be a number one corner and shut up.
Exactly. I don't think Jets fans will be annoyed with this if he comes out and after week 16, after the season's done, and he proves that he could be a solid number one corner in the league,
right.
I don't think anybody will be annoyed. Sheldon Richardson had the same kind of confidence. He said close to the same kind of stuff. I didn't like it in the beginning. I remember I wasn't a big fan of how he spoke to the media and what he said.
Yeah.
But then by the end of the year, I was on the bandwagon, and I was pumped that he said it because he can back it up. As long as he goes out there and backs it up, I don't have a problem with it.
If Peyton Manning came out tomorrow and said, I'm the best guy in the NFL, who would doubt him? Who would we sit here and be saying, wow, Peyton Manning really can't say it?
Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, then you're talking about that's – then you're just going down to personal preference, you know. That's not really a hard debate. It's just, but like that's the stuff we're talking about. You have to be able to have a body of work before you start talking. That's the problem I have. Like, you know.
Yeah, I agree. The only body of work that he really put together was those last couple of games when he was guarding, you know, Josh Gordon and Mike Wallace. But the only problem is this year he's going to actually have a quarterback who can throw to those receivers. You know, you got that, got the combinations of Stafford to Calvin Johnson, Cutler to Brandon Marshall, or, you know, a guy that we could have had instead of Stephen Hill, Alshon Jeffries. I know a lot of Jets fans are crying about that one. So he's really going to have to put his money where his mouth is. We're going to see what happens.
Well, you know, Joe, who better to ask about – media questions and the New York Jets. We actually have Metro New York Newspaper Zone and Comcast Sports Christian Dyer on our line. Christian, how are you doing tonight?
A happy Tuesday and almost football Tuesday to you guys.
how's everything going?
It's good. Hey, listen, preseason game coming up on Sunday. Giants in the preseason game, so you got a little bit of local flavor. I'll be at my favorite sports bar with a free barbecue. So I've got multiple reasons to be looking forward to NFL coming around.
Absolutely. That sounds like a plan. And Christian, let's start it right off. You know, we're sitting here, we're talking about the Dee Milliner comments made to the New York Daily News, and of course they get blown up all over the place and everybody's talking about them, and Rex Ryan getting questions about his players and endorsing the boasting and everything like that. How do you feel about the way that the Jets players can sometimes portray themselves to the media? Do you like it the way that Dee Milliner answered that question? Do you like the fact that Rex Ryan now is talking about it? Or do you think it's just nonsense that the Jets need to put to bed?
Well, you know, listen, the Jets aren't making any guarantees right now. They're saying what they think and what they feel, and I have a news flash for the rest of the national media. 31 NFL teams, if you ask players on their rosters, are going to say the same thing. We've got the best defense in the league. We believe we can be the best offense. The Giants came out and said that Eli Manning can have a 70% completion percentage, this season, and everyone kind of lauds that as confidence. But the Jets say the same thing, and I'm not a homer. I will go after Rex when he says something preposterous or when they make a bad move. But it's become this self-fulfilling prophecy. If the Jets say something confident, it all of a sudden becomes overblown, and it becomes this is the cocky Jets, this is the circus Jets. Well, you know what? This has been a pretty quiet off season for this team. I can't think of any arrests of anyone who's going to be on the 53-man roster. I can't think of any, preposterous boasting from anyone who's on this roster. And Rex is more confident, but I don't think he's cocky. I think he's earned the right after an 8-8 season, a season where, quite frankly, I think he should have been the AFC Coach of the Year for the job he did.
I agree.
You look at all these different things and all these different scenarios playing out across the league. People give the Baltimore Ravens a free pass, with the Ray Rice situation. But Dee Milliner comes out and says, I think we can be the best defense in the league. Well, you know what? Good for Dee Milliner. He should think that way. You know what? Good for the New York Daily News for running it and not having it be a snippy story, letting it kind of stand alone by itself as a good quote. I've got no problem with what the Daily News did, with what Dee Milliner did, or the fact that Rex Ryan saying there should be heightened expectations. Because guess what, guys? There should be. This is a better team. Whether they have a better record or not remains to be seen. But this is a better Jets team pointed in the right direction.
Hey,
how's that for a start to the show?
Now, you've got me pumped up. I'm ready to go to my favorite bar now and start watching whatever is on TV. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Christian, it's Joe here. I definitely agree with you. I was trying to tell Brandon that before. I really don't have a problem with what he said. But I know you were at
Nobody
the
can
mini
tell
camp.
Me anything.
Yeah. I figured that out quickly. but I have a question for you. I knew you were at the mini camp, and I was wondering how the receivers, other than Decker and Curley, look, because we all know that Decker is going to run crisp routes. He's going to catch the ball. Curley's going to look shifty. He's going to look good in practice. But I want to ask you if anybody stood out, like the Shaq Evans, like Saunders, maybe even guys like Clyde Gates or Salim Hakeem or anybody like that.
Well, we didn't say the guy whose last name ends with four letters and has become a curse word in this area, and that's Stephen Hill. He seems to be absent from what everyone's talking about. But I know he had a bad drop a couple days ago in training camp, but that's going to happen to any wide receiver. And Eric Decker has a bad drop. It's chalked up to, well, he'll get it next time, and that's true. He's earned that right. I think Stephen Hill over the past year or so has probably earned the right a little bit more than most Jets fans will want to say. He's developed. He's gotten better. I know he went through that stretch of four or five games where he didn't have a catch. Well, he also wasn't targeted very often, if at all, in any of those games. There are still separation issues. I know there's the injury issue, but he's looking and getting to be a little bit more refined. He's rising to the ball better, which was always a criticism I had of him. With that long frame, with that freakish athletic ability, he seemed to let the ball come to him. He's addressed that. His route running looks a bit more fluid. He's cutting. He's breaking better. He seems to have a better understanding of where he's supposed to be. Listen, Stephen Hill's a second-round pick. Do I think he's going to be catching 100 balls ever in his Jets career or NFL career? Probably not. But can he be a good guy who can get you 35, 40 catches a season? I think so, and I think he's at that level right now. And I think the Jets are going to have the luxury of having him be a good, solid number 3/number 4 guy. David Nelson, another one who I thought took a significant step forward this offseason, a little bit more of a veteran, than Hill, but coming in, you know, kind of the early end, the early part of last season, I think there was an acclimation. There was a learning curve. And David Nelson, a lot of people were whispering, may not be on the roster this year. Well, I hate to break it to you. He's going to be on the 53-man roster. And as far as the rookies, I've not been impressed with Shaq Evans' body of work so far, from rookie minicamp through OTAs to minicamp. But Saunders certainly looks like somebody who I think kind of is a little bit of a Jeremy Curley light. Perhaps not as durable, not as big of a target, not as fluid as a route runner, but shifty, elusive. Reminds me a little bit of Dre Archer from Kent State, who I really liked out of college. And I think Saunders has a lot of those similar qualities. Get him the ball in the open field, and I think some exciting things can happen for the Jets. So I think they've got a good nucleus now with five wide receivers. If they decide to carry six or seven, I could see Clyde Gates as part of that 53, but right now he definitely has an uphill battle to get there.
Awesome, awesome. See, my biggest concern with Stephen Hill was his route running and how he kind of looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex trying to catch the football. He never brought his arms up. So that's definitely good to hear that. And I completely agree with you with David Nelson. I think that he's going to come in and he's going to be really good for us. I think that he might even be – I might be in the minority, but I think that he might be our second string receiver. You know, he came in right before the Falcons game last year. He played 12 games with us. He didn't have any mini camp. He didn't have any time to get a chemistry with Geno. He had like low 400 yards. He had two touchdowns. So I think that David Nelson will definitely make the roster. He's definitely going to be the like top four receiver on the team. But to backpack off my last question, Christian, I wanted to ask you a little bit harder question. I was wondering, I wanted to know your final prediction for the wide receiver depth chart, because I can't see. I predict that there's going to be seven receivers, and I actually don't think that one of them is going to be Clyde Gates.
And I could very well see that as that scenario. But listen, we all saw the quotes, that Michael Vick was praising Clyde Gates. I'm not sure we should read too much into that. Clyde Gates is someone who looks tremendous without the pads on, can be deceptive in terms of route running ability, has quick hands, not surprising since he was a college basketball player. But with all that being said, he puts the pads on and he doesn't quite play the same way. You're looking at Eric Decker and Curley certainly being locks to make the team. Again, much to the chagrin of the Jets fans, I think Stephen Hill's going to make this team and David Nelson will. Saunders is someone else who I think is very likely to make the team. I'm not too sure about the other two draft picks, however. I think there's a very good chance they may end up on the practice squad. Jacoby Ford looked impressive at times, so I see a scenario where they carry six, possibly seven, but I would not be surprised to see six, especially with the lack of depth in certain areas such as linebacker, where the Jets might need to carry another body or two. Just with some of the age and injury concerns or along the offensive line. So right now I've got six penciled in. I don't see more than seven.
Now, Christian, I'm looking here, and that's kind of surprising. I actually, coming into this, I thought Shaq Evans was going to be could have potential to be a big-time playmaker, you know, early on for this team. You know, listening to your comments about him, you know, that's actually something that I'm a little surprised about based off his tapes and based off, you know, what you've seen from him, what he can do in college. One thing I wanted to ask you, so do you see Shaq Evans not making this team, and also the tight end competition? You have Jason Morrow and you have Jeff Cumberland. Which one of those two guys do you see really emerging and being the starter at tight end? Do you think that they're going to kind of move Jason Morrow along and not rush him into the role, or do you think that he's going to just take it by force with play on the field this camp into the preseason?
Well, to answer the first question about Shaq Evans, he was someone who, when I saw him at minicamp, throughout some of what we were able to see in rookie minicamp as well, he wasn't able to do too much in the off season. But, you know, the things and the little bits and pieces that I saw, not really the consistent kind of wide receiver you'd like to see. Is he a nice selection where he was taken? I thought that there were better wide receivers left on the draft board, to be honest with you. But with all that being said, I think there's a fairly good chance he ends up making the roster. We've seen consistently that John Idzik will carry players that he drafted on the 53-man roster. I'm looking at Will Campbell, from last year who was not active at all, wasn't even, from what I've heard, even the third string on the offensive line. He was that raw in terms of his development. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Shaq Evans on this roster. Can he develop? Yes. Is he a lot rawer than I thought he would be? Most definitely. Switching to the tight ends right now, I think you have to give the edge to Jeff Cumberland. He seems a little bit more established, a little bit thicker, a little bit stronger, a little bit more confident in the trenches, which has always kind of been where his difficulties have lied. I mean, this is a guy who played a lot of wide receiver at Illinois, making the transition over the past couple years from being a wide out to a tight end. I think he looks and feels a little bit more confident after the way that he played last year. I'm assuming we're going to be seeing an awful lot of two tight end sets, so I'm not sure if it necessarily matters who's going to be the starter for the Jets. Jason Morrow was somebody who I had major question marks about coming out of the draft. I favored C.J. Fedorowicz over Amaro at that point in the draft. I thought he was a little bit more of a throwback tight end, could have been a better fit with the ground and pound, was still good with his hands. Amaro is someone who I think is going to struggle at times at the NFL, and I see that based upon the fact that his measurables. He had the smallest hands of any tight end in the draft, and that's going to impact things. You're playing in a cold weather climate. You're playing with a quarterback named Geno Smith who's made strides in terms of his accuracy, but certainly struggles with ball placement, with his passing windows, and where to put the ball so that his receivers can make plays with yards after the catch. So I think Jason Morrow could struggle at times in this offense. I thought that there were better tight ends that the Jets could have taken at that point in the second round, and they chose not to. I think Amaro could become a good, relatively good player, but I don't think he'll ever develop to be a top five tight end in the NFL. So, in other words, I think the Jets drafted another Dustin Keller type of guy who's going to do some things very well. He's going to frustrate the fan base overall. His route running, very suspect. He played in a college system where that wasn't necessarily emphasized. It would get out there, get quickly, get open, and we'll deliver the ball to you. So there's going to be a steep learning curve for Amaro. He's not going to be a bust. He's not going to be riding the bench. With all that being said, I think Jeff Cumberland is probably a little bit more refined at this point. But all that could change once the pads go on, and maybe that accelerates his learning curve.
Absolutely. I'm really high on Jason Morrow, actually. I think that he could develop into something really special. A lot of coming into this draft and even prior, his draft, draft stock really kind of went down. They were talking about him potentially being a first-round selection. Now, one thing I did want to ask you, we're talking with Christian Dyer here on Jet Nation Radio. Calvin Pryor, he's a player that the Jets obviously were high on taking him in the first round. It's a big-time need over at the safety position. But I wanted to ask you, last year you took D. Milner and you put him – and you threw him right into the fire. You didn't really give him any chance to kind of see what was going on, and you didn't give him any chance to, quote-unquote, we say, develop. The Jets threw D. Milner into the mix. He immediately struggled right off the bat. I personally think that it kind of hindered him a little bit, and that's why it took him so long to get going throughout the season. Do you think that they're going to take a different approach with Pryor and kind of, let him ease along into that starting role rather than saying, week one, you're the man, go out there, control this defense? Or do you think that they're going to put him right into the mix right off the bat and make him the quote-unquote center fielder of this defense to start? Go ahead.
Well, safety can be one of those positions where it can be a little bit easier for someone to transition from college to the NFL. Cornerback, actually, in talking with someone who's a former GM, told me that he thought that cornerback was the third most difficult position for a guy to go from playing NCAA football to the NFL, behind quarterback and then left tackle. And he thought that cornerback was that because you're really on an island. You're out there, you're by yourself, you got to read, you got to react, you got to know when you switch from a man coverage to a zone, who you're passing off to, where your help's going to be, are you going to need to do a bump and run? I mean, what are the different scenarios and how does that play out? So I think it was unfair to judge D. Milner based off of last year, especially with all the injuries he had. He certainly looked better those final six games or so of the season, looked and felt more like an NFL cornerback, and I think he's going to take that next step. He looked physically stronger. I see a scenario where I think the Jets are going to end up putting out Calvin Pryor out there very early on, if not week one, certainly by early to middle of the season. We've seen that they've wanted to put in this youth movement and guys that they draft, Brian Winters, who I don't think, watching him in practice last year, was in a position where he was going to be better than Vlad Dukas. But because he was someone they wanted to bring in and develop, they were willing to put him in and take lumps. Same thing you could say with Geno, and same thing you could say with D. Milner and some of the other selections that they've had. They were willing to take their lumps with these young guys, get them snaps, get them reps out there, and let them learn, in the heat of the moment, if you will. I do think that there is some good depth at the safety position. In my mind, Antonio Allen may be a little bit more refined, and both of them are very similar players. So you've got a good interchange there. If Pryor is struggling, in one avenue or aspect, you can put in Antonio Allen. Both like to play close to the line of scrimmage. Both of them are hard hitters. Antonio Allen's a former linebacker at the college level. Both of them have good range, very good in the run support, and both of them are going to struggle in terms of the pass coverage and reading what's coming at them. So, I think at this point you probably take Pryor, you take your lumps, but I don't think it will be quite as steep of a learning curve as Milner last year.
Okay, Christian, that's good to hear. But I was wondering what you thought or how you thought Chris Johnson looked, because I hear a lot of Jets fans, saying, oh, he's going to get 1,500 yards. Chris Ivory's going to have close to 1,000. Powell's going to have a couple hundred. I feel like I have more realistic expectations where, both Chris Johnson and Ivory will maybe have high hundreds. Maybe one of them will break 1,000 yards, because you still got to put Powell into the situation. He's going to have 100, 200, 300 maybe. And then maybe even if we keep four running backs, which I don't see happening, but we have Darrell Richardson, who was a starter on the Rams last year. So I was wondering what you've seen from Chris Johnson when you were there, because I've heard nothing but good things that he looks like he's fast, he looks like he's quick, he looks like he's healthy. So I want to know what you thought.
I think we're going to be looking at a scenario, and I had someone in the organization tell me this a couple months ago, where Chris Johnson's going to try to do a LaDainian Tomlinson 2010 version with Chris Johnson. That's going to be get him somewhere close to 1,000 yards. You're looking at probably about 200, 250 carries at most for this guy. If he gets up near 300, that would probably be a source of concern for the Jets. But get him those amount of carries and really utilize Chris Ivory earlier on in the game to kind of wear down the opposing team defense, running between those tackles, throw in Powell on third downs. Johnson certainly can be very effective there as well. And then with the Wildcat package that they're going to have, really be able to open things up so that Chris Johnson can come in. And Johnson's not the kind of runner that gets 3 yards, 3 yards, 17, and that's how he gets his, 23 yards on three carries. He'll get 1 yard, 1 yard, and then 21. That's his running style. That's how he's going to he's more of a home run hitter, if you will. So it's going to be some patience from the Jets on offense to get Chris Johnson, to get him that home run capabilities. If it works, if Chris Johnson has 1,000 yards for the Jets, in all likelihood, I think they're probably a playoff team, because everyone else is going to get their carries too. And that means that they've done a good job of establishing things on first down to open things up for Johnson on second and third down. I don't think that this is going to be one of those scenarios where you see Johnson running consistently over 100 yards in a game. 1,000 yards and probably about 200, 225 carries, probably realistic. I'm not sure if Chris Johnson will be a great fantasy football pickup for a lot of owners out there.
Well, Christian, I want to thank you for coming on with us tonight.
That's
here
it.
On Jet Nation Radio. there's always more to talk about. We got a long way to go. We're talking here with Christian Dyer here on Jet Nation Radio. And, before we're gonna let you go here, but I definitely want to get some more insights from you as the season goes on. And you're probably you are my favorite article. You're my favorite writer out there. I really enjoy your stuff.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm sure you say that to all the ladies.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, Christian.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much. And we got football on Sunday.
Oh, thank goodness. Thank you so much. That was Christian Dyer calling from Metro New York. And so let's go right after it. Let's go right after it, Joe. We got some people holding. Keith, my man, holding. Keith from Pittsburgh has been holding for over 15 minutes. That's what I call a team player, Keith. So go ahead. Take it away.
Hey, Jet Nation Radio, first and foremost, I have to say, this here is clearly one of the best Jets talk shows to listen to, period. I've been on Twitter, I've been looking at different ones and listening, but by far, if you want to get real information, you have to come to Jet Nation Radio.
I appreciate
that. That's off
that.
The bat.
Oh, thank you so much.
No question. But I'm really calling because I wanted to form an opinion. As far as the Jets and the confidence level, me personally, I don't think anything is wrong with that because we have a lot of younger players that are coming in and, you know, despite maybe like D. Milner, he had a bad year last year coming in, but towards the end, he played pretty good. So I think it's good that these players should have some kind of confidence coming into the season because you don't want your team to come in and they're like feeling like, you know, they can't do it. It's not good energy. So I think it's real good that they have confidence. And they believe in themselves. That's what we need coming into the season.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with having confidence. You should have confidence. You're a player in the mm-hmm. National Football League. But I don't mm-hmm. need to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. You know how I want to see your confidence? I want to see your confidence when you put on your helmet and you put on your shoulder pads and you go play football. Because guess what? Anything else
totally.
Is window dressing to me. I don't care.
Totally.
I don't care if you think you're the best. I don't care if you want mm-hmm. to talk to the New York Daily News. It's all mm-hmm. a waste of time. It's a complete waste of time. Go ahead, Keith.
And you're totally right. I totally agree with you. That's why my other point is, for all the players who are coming out saying that they're the best, even though it's great, I love the fact that they have that confidence, but now it's a show and prove scenario. You have to show and prove. Not only can you speak about it, you have to be about it. You know, but it's good that we have players like D. Milner and all, and even Geno. He said he was going to be a top five quarterback this year. Now, I'm a diehard Jets fan. I love my Jets. It's like blasphemy to actually talk bad against my guys. You know, and I'm not saying that he can't do it. It can be done, but mm-hmm. you have to show me first. You know
right.
what I mean? You have to get out
right.
there.
Exactly. That's
and,
my
and
problem.
You have to light it up.
That's my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is your it that's like D. Milner going out there and saying he's the best cornerback in the NFL is like me going out there and saying I'm the best cornerback in the NFL. It holds the same weight with the people, with the fans, with the players. There's
Brandon,
nothing
you
there.
You don't know that. You could be.
My cleats have a lot of dust on them. I haven't put them on in a while.
But Brandon.
Right, but like I said, I totally agree. You know, the confidence level is beautiful. I love it. But they have to get out there and they have to show me first. You know what I mean? And I know a lot of people are like, you know, this is Rex's team, so obviously they're going to take his style and stuff. Like I said before, I find nothing wrong with that. You know, because like, being out here in Pittsburgh, you know, I really don't pay attention to the Steelers. I try not to, but I do here because I'm in the area. You know, and, you know, I hear a little bit of boasting about, you know, they saying that they're the best this, they're the best that, and this, that. You hear that. But unlike the Steelers and the Jets, the Steelers are a little bit more proven around
huh.
about their ways of winning
bit.
And performing.
A little bit.
Yeah, I usually call my girl Courtney's on.
I think that it gets blown out of proportion just because we're in New York and everybody wants to make a headline to, you know, get their reads and get their money. See, but wouldn't you rather have D. Milner come out and say, I'm the best, I'm good at this, I'm great, I can be great, than say, hey, I'm awful, I can't cover Calvin Johnson,
nobody's gonna
I can't
say
cover
that.
Mike Wallace.
You don't
right.
have to say anything.
I'll put to you this way. If D. Milner would just come out and say, you know, I have faith in myself and I believe I'm going to do the best that I can this year.
There you go.
And I'm going to show and prove.
Hold on, Keith.
Instead of saying, you know, awesome.
You nailed it.
Awesome.
Keith, I want to thank you for holding and staying with us, man. I appreciate the call, buddy.
Oh, no problem. Like I said, whenever I can, I try to call in. You know, like I said, I usually try to call when my girl Courtney is on, you know what I mean, which is awesome. It's always great to call at her. But it's, like I said, that makes for radio. I love it.
Work get in the way tonight, so that she unfortunately won't be getting her on tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure she'll probably listen to the podcast because I usually do too anyway. So, you know, keep doing what y'all doing, Jet Nation Radio. I really appreciate it. Y'all are truly the best.
Thank you so much,
thank
Keith.
You,
I look
you.
Forward to hearing you for next week.
All right.
Week.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. If I can make it, if I can definitely get that call, I definitely would.
There's no ifs, Keith. You're the best caller around. You go tell the New York Daily News that. You pump yourself up. You got me?
Well, hey, if I could deal with these crazy Steeler fans around here, you know how that can be. You know, they don't take too kind to anybody that ain't in, you know, that black and yellow mess. So,
all right, Keith, thanks so much.
All right, y'all take it easy. Go Jets.
That's right. All right, let's keep moving down the line here. Glenn wants to talk about roster cuts. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, how are we doing tonight, guys?
Fantastic. How are you?
Doing good, Glenn. How about you?
Good, good. Yeah, just I think this year, more so than the last few years, the number of questions a little deeper down the roster really are glaring. When you look at when you look at the running back position, someone was talking earlier about Darrell Richardson. He's a guy that played well enough a couple years ago that I think that spot for the third running back position is going to be pretty important battle, especially when you look at the fact that, I mean, I get that Chris Johnson's durable, he hasn't missed a lot of time, but the guy does have a ton of miles, and Chris Ivory is a guy that has missed a lot of time. So if you're the GM, it's like, do you want to go into the season with just Ivory and Johnson with all the mileage he's got, and Powell, who I like. I really like Bilal Powell. You know, a lot of fans are down on him, but it seems to me that people get down on players because, you know, the guy, he's not a superstar. He's not a game breaker. He's not amazing. Bilal Powell is a serviceable guy. You know, each of the last two seasons, playing on a pretty putrid offense as a guy who hasn't played a lot of football, he's, you know, 3.9 a carry, you know, each of the last 2 years. So I could see him and Richardson slugging it out, but honestly, I'd like to see both of them make the roster. And the other guy a little deeper down the roster, Zach Sudfeld. You know, having a 6'7 tight end in the red zone could be invaluable. And echoing what Christian said, I haven't seen a ton of Jason Morrow, but I don't know. I feel like the system he played in definitely contributed to what he did, but at the same time, you can't take away from what he did. Guy had over 100 catches. He clearly can catch the football. But until he's kind of established himself, right now you have Cumberland and a couple of question marks, and I'd like the idea of Sudfeld sticking, again, that big red zone target, and I like the idea of the running backs fighting it out and, close it out with the guards. You know, they got a lot of guards on this roster right now. If Dakota Dozier is projected to be a guard and, you know, they've moved the Boucher to guard, you got Campbell, you got Clone, you got Winters. There's a lot of – somebody's going to have to go. There are some guys who can probably play in the league but that won't stick with this roster. Just like to get your thoughts on some of those guys that are a little deeper down that don't they're not getting the headlines, they're not getting the big stories and the camp battles, but I think they're going to be important battles as the season plays out.
Hey, Keith, it's Joe here. I completely agree with you. I think that the third spot for the running backs is definitely going to be very important that somebody's not looking at. You know, Chris, you're completely right. Chris Johnson has a lot of miles. He hasn't been hurt a lot, but he still has a lot of miles, and you figure that Father Time is going to catch up with him eventually. So you want to have good depth. Chris Ivory he's a bruiser. He gets injured sometimes. We actually got lucky with how many games he played last year. So I think that third running back spot is going to be a very, very big battle for us. I think that, in my opinion, I don't think we're going to carry four, but I do think that Bilal Powell will win out that job. I think he's been very consistent. I think we're used to his playing style. Marnie Moriweg, he learned what kind of plays he ran good in last year. I think that we'll end up keeping three, not four. I think there's too many other positions that we need depth in, such as receiver, because we have a lot of question marks. We're not sure if people are going to shape out, you know, such as cornerback. We don't know, like Brandon always said, we had this conversation last week when I called in, actually, that we don't know if Darren Walls is going to be good. We don't know if Demetri Patterson is going to be good. We don't know how these guys are going to shape out. So I think that we carry three running backs. to go to your tight end question, I think that Sudfeld is actually, from what I've heard, he's actually outperforming both Amaro and Cumberland right now. That he's the one who's standing out of all three of them. That he, I believe it was on Sunday when Cumberland just came back from his the death in his family, and Jason Morrow had something with a hamstring, I believe, that he stood out. He actually led the team period. He had the most catches out of anybody on the team. So I think that Sudfeld will definitely stick around. I think that he could actually be a bigger part of our offense than people expect him to be. And as far as the guard position, I rather have competition at the position like we haven't had it in years at any position. So I'm happy that we have guys. We have Will Campbell. We have Abushi. We even have Ben Ijelana from the Colts a couple of years ago. We have depth. That's one thing we haven't had in recent years. We haven't had depth. We haven't had competition. So I think that the competition is going to push our players, and we're going to get some key quality good backups.
Yeah, I think the thing with Ijelana, I remember them grabbing him from the Colts last year. I've seen on the board, I've seen people refer to him as a tackle, as a guard. And I know he was drafted as a tackle originally by Indy when they took him out of Villanova. I've heard a few people refer to him as a guard, but I hope he's a tackle. Because if he's a guard, who's backing up Brick? I mean, I don't even know anything about the guy, but I just know he's the only other person on the roster with any experience who's backing up DeBrickashaw Ferguson. And that's one of those sort of, you take Brick for granted, like he's missed one play in his career, which is just absolutely insane. But behind him, there's nobody other than Ijelana. I mean, I see what you're saying. I think he may have played a little bit in a couple different spots along the line. But I'm hoping a roster spot frees up this year from Caleb Schlotteroff, because honestly, I don't know why the guy's still on the team. We heard for 2 or 3 years that, you know, we traded, a 6th or 7th round pick to the Packers to get this guy 4 or 5 years ago, and we kept hearing that he was coming along and he was going to be this and he was going to be that. The guy couldn't beat out Vlad. The guy couldn't beat out, Brian Winters last year, a rookie. They've moved him to center, and now they have the kid from Clemson who they like better than him. So I really feel like that guy's been a waste of a roster spot for a few years now. And those are the kind of guys that I think, through attrition, you know, again, you got 4, 5, 6 guys listed at guard, and then, you know, 3 guys listed at center. Some spots are gonna free up. You know, if you remember a couple years ago, and even last year, I mean, they kept Campbell around. They kept him on the roster all year. They kept Abushi on the roster. The Jets and a lot of teams seem to be fine with keeping, you know, 2, 3, 4 guys on the roster that are essentially redshirted. And roster spots are valuable. So I, for one, when I look at a guy like Schlotteroff, I'm like, let's get rid of him, and let's keep that extra running back. Let's keep that extra tight end. Let's keep that extra corner. You know, the corner position keeps coming up. You look at a guy like Razai Dowling, who everyone feels like has a great shot to make the roster.
Great last name.
Yeah, one of the best in the NFL, definitely in the top 500. But I think that, but I saw today he hurt his foot a little bit, so I don't know. I mean, that's been the knock on him, is that he's been injury-prone, and that's why New England let him go, even though he was a second-round pick. But, you know, I don't know how major it was. I just heard he was out of practice for a little bit. But, again, Idzik said it from day one, tons of competition all over the field. A bunch of guys, you know, you can literally, I don't know how many teams in the NFL you can look at and say, there's 5 guys listed at this position, 6 guys, and literally any one of them could start. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We'll find out over time.
Glenn, the insight that you bring to us every week, usually when you call in, is fantastic. I can't thank you enough, and it's gonna be very interesting to see what happens with these roster cuts over time. And I thank you for the call, my man.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was our man Air Force Glenn, who was calling in talking about roster cuts. Let's move down the line. Ray wants to talk about defensive backs and quarterbacks. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, how y'all doing, gentlemen?
Fantastic. How are
Doing
you?
Doing good.
First time caller here. I love your show. I'm at work.
I appreciate that.
I'm at work hiding in the room so I can talk about my Jets. I'm on the West Coast, but I'm representing here.
Awesome.
Okay, talking about receiver situation, gentlemen, I'm a little puzzled because I'm hearing a lot about David Nelson, and I like David Nelson. But what about this Salas? I'm hearing a lot about Salas making this run, and then it's Hakeem Salim. Do you think that the Jets' offense, as far as receivers concerned, are we underrated? Do you think that because out of we got Saunders, Jalen Saunders, we got Greg Salas, who kind of came around last year. Eric, it seems like when we come into this training camp, we do have competition, but it's like I'm kind of confused on who's actually stepping up. I need more data. Can y'all give us some information on who you think will make the roster? We had Gates from last year, or the last 2 years, who comes, has a little flash in the pan during the summertime, then he gets hurt.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, yeah, I don't see a guy like Clyde Gates making the team, not because of the talent, actually, yeah, because of his talent, but I don't believe that he's going to make the team. I see seven receivers that I have a problem with cutting, every single one of them. You have Decker, who you're not going to cut. You're not going to cut Curley. You're not going to cut Nelson. At least I don't believe you should cut Nelson. He's probably the best chemistry with Geno on the entire team. I don't believe you're cut either of the rookies that you drafted in the fourth round. And then you have Jacoby Ford, who I've heard is doing really good in camp. He looks like he's going to be a good punt returner for us. People are saying that he's blazing. He's fast. He's probably the fastest guy on our team. I don't think a guy like Clyde Gates or a guy like Greg Salas makes the team, just because we actually have depth this year, and I don't see him beating out any one of those guys.
And so Evans and Saunders, the rookies that we picked up, will make the team. And then this I can't pronounce his name, Unumu, he got hurt.
Yeah,
he hurt
yeah.
his hip. So you think he will make the squad too, or just Saunders?
No, I don't believe that he's going to make the squad. From what I've heard, he hasn't been impressive. He hasn't stood up. He's been hurt a lot. I think that we're going to put him on the practice squad. Hopefully nobody picks him up when we try to clear waivers with him. But, yeah, no, I don't see him making the squad. I don't see Salas. I don't see Salim Hakeem on the team. I don't see Clyde Gates. But the seven that I did name, I believe that they might actually all make the team. I think that's my like surprise prediction for the season, that we're actually going to have seven receivers week in and week out.
On the secondary, do you think, okay, I love this little Jeremy Reeves, but it seems like he's going to be one of them guys that show a lot of potential, but because of his size, he probably won't make it. But they said he has big heart.
I like him too. I've heard a lot of good things about him. He has crazy combine numbers. But who do you think you're going to replace him with? You know, we have Kyle Wilson, we have Dimitri Patterson, we have McDougal, we have D. Milner, we have Darren Walls. You know, I don't see him making this team. We even have Rod Vidal, who I actually think would be the sixth player if we do carry six corners. But yeah, Jeremy Reeves is definitely impressive. He's from Iowa State. He's only 5'7", which is definitely a problem. So he would be limited to the slot, I believe. But he did have some crazy combine numbers. He had a 4.29 40, which is very impressive. And I believe he had I think it was a 43-inch vertical, which is out of this world. So I do see what you're saying with Jeremy Reeves, but I don't think that he makes the team. I think that he gets stashed on the practice squad as well.
So if he beats, I was thinking maybe between Langster and Wilson, that slot, that nickel, you think that he can actually surpass Wilson? Wilson has been like a number two or number one pick a couple of years ago, and he never really panned out to be anything. So I was wondering if Reeves can actually push that spot, take that spot.
No, see, I don't. I think that a lot of Jets fans, they bust on Kyle Wilson too much, because I was actually looking up stats to Kyle Wilson the other day because I was just wondering. And Pro Football Focus, which is actually a very reputable website, actually ranked him as a top slot corner in the NFL. And I believe he did good last year. He actually did very well last year. You didn't see him get beat, or not at all, really, anyway. People forget that when we had the number one pass defense in 2012, that it was actually Kyle Wilson on the opposite side of Cromartie. So I think a lot of fans overlook Kyle Wilson. I think that he definitely locks down the third, and I think that Dimitri Patterson will be number two, and then we have guys like McDougal, Darren Wall, and Rod Dowling fighting it out for that fourth spot.
Right. I'm really impressed with McDougal. You know, the crazy thing, I actually think McDougal's going to actually turn out being better than D. Milner in the long run. And I was
Hey, we never know. John Isaac was a part of the team that drafted Richard Sherman in the fifth round, so I'm hoping for that. That would be great.
Yeah, isn't there a guy named Harden that's making noise? I think he's a huge cornerback. Is it safety Harden?
Harden is a safety, but again, I don't see him making the roster because who are you going to take out? You're not going to take out Pryor or Allen or Landry or even Jaquan Jarrett. In my opinion, the big battle for in safety position is between Jaquan Jarrett, Josh Bush, and that's about it. Yes. Rontez Miles. I think that's a three-way battle for a backup safety spot, but I don't see Harden beating any one of those guys out.
I heard a lot about Montez last year. They said he was looking really good before he got hurt, so I was hoping that he picked it up from where he left off. So I haven't heard – I heard his name mentioned maybe once or two, twice today.
I actually heard his name, Rex, in an interview, said that he actually called out Rontez Miles and Troy Davis, and he was saying that those are the two players that are going the hardest in practice. They go 110%, and he used the mantra that they play like a Jet. So you never know. He could be a surprise player to make the team. But that's why training camp is exciting, and that's why we're all reading the articles, and that's why we're calling the show.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. Y'all got me excited. I think I'm going to go throw on some green and white and run around work.
Hey, Ray, I appreciate the call. And listen, you call us anytime. We're here every single week, man. So I appreciate the listening and giving us a call for the first time.
No problem. I'll be more equipped next time. Like I said, I'm at work hiding in the closet over here while I'm trying to talk about my Jets.
All right, Ray, we'll let you go before somebody comes and finds you, okay?
All right, take it easy. Bye.
All right, thank you. And that was Ray. And before we end the show here, we are going to go to Tom, who wants to talk about running backs. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
Very well. First things first, I would like to say that his quote on Stephen Hill, looking like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, was probably the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Thank you.
But I would also like to talk to you guys about who do you think is going to be the number one running back with Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory. I mean, I know Bilal Powell is probably going to be behind both of them because Chris Ivory ran very well last year, and Chris Johnson is such a big name he can't be the third back. But who do you think is going to be number one between Chris Ivory and Chris Johnson?
I mean, I am really one of the guys who's high on Chris Johnson. I think Chris Johnson has the potential to be the number one running back for the Jets, and I believe that because I really look at it from this point of view. You know, Chris Johnson is a guy who has always in his career, has never not rushed for 1,000 yards. We're sitting here talking about a guy last year who was hurt and a guy who was, you know, who was down – and everybody was down on him, and he is still sitting here as a stat for him that he's never not rushed for 1,000 yards. I think he's coming in here with a chip on his shoulder. Everybody is down on him throughout the league. Everybody thinks that he's in that past stage where they're saying, oh, well, he could be LaDainian Tomlinson, and he can do this, and he could do that, you know, and he could be that veteran guy. I don't think he's there yet. He hasn't been in the league this. LaDainian Tomlinson came here with a career that was done and a career that was proven and was coming in here to give some added, you know, some added things in the passing game and maybe a little boost in the running game. Chris Johnson has, in my opinion, a lot left in the tank. He's finally healthy. He can be an elite running back in this league. You know, you saw the Jets come out today and say that Chris Ivory is going to be their goal line back. I think that's really what they're going to use him for. I think Chris Johnson is going to take the number one running back spot Chris Johnson is going to take the number one running back spot from Chris Ivory, and he's going to run with it. And I think
I actually have to disagree with you. I think that they're going to use Chris Ivory as the primary back to weaken the defense, to give him some bruises. They're not going to want to they're not going to want to hit running backs through and get sore, and they're going to put Chris Johnson on third down and give him a little outlet.
See,
outlet
I think Chris Johnson is not the type of guy to take that role. Chris Johnson right now is coming in here. He's got an open mind, but Chris Johnson signed the contract and came to the Jets not to be a third down running back. His mindset is, I'm an every down back. Every time he touches that football, he can take it to the end zone. I think Chris Johnson, as we might sit here and say, well, this guy might be able to give Ivory a spell and might be able to do good things. Chris Johnson is getting healthy and came here for one reason, and that's to show everybody that he can still play running back at a high level. I think he's going to earn himself and take the number one job right underneath all the running backs on this team.
Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing that Chris Johnson's going to do here is open up the passing game. When I heard about the news, I wasn't too excited. Well, I was obviously excited about, he's got 1,000 yards every single year he's been in the NFL. But I think the big difference is that we actually have a player out of the backfield who is going to make, the safeties and the linebackers spy. It's going to be something that they're going to have to check. I actually heard something that they're actually trying to use him at receiver for some plays. So I think that Chris Johnson's going to make a huge impact as a pass catching running back and a change of pace running back, but I do think that Chris Ivory is going to take the number one running back spot. But in saying that, I do think they will ride the hot hand.
Tom, go ahead.
What do you think they would do with Bilal Powell? Because with everything you guys are saying, he's pretty much not even in the mix. They're just going to use Chris Ivory to pound the ball and Chris Johnson to either spread out or just be the speed back, obviously, because that's what he is. But if that's the case, Bilal Powell is going to have absolutely nothing to do with the offense.
I don't think it's that case. I mean, there's a lot of reps to go around with the running back position. I think Bilal Powell showed some times last year that he can have some breakaway runs. He can provide a spark to your offense in the running game. I mean, here's the thing. You're going to mix these guys in. Running backs are, especially Chris Ivory and Chris Johnson, are very injury-prone guys. They're not healthy all the time. They've had injuries throughout their career. You need somebody who's going to do that. You have to be able to have a third running back on this team who's going to be able to step up. You have to be able to have a guy who can step in like that. And Tom, it's a good question, but I think Bilal Powell is going to make his own role in the mix on this team. And I appreciate the call.
I definitely agree with you because Bilal Powell, I love him as a running back. I think he's amazing.
So
but you guys have a wonderful day. Thanks for having me.
No problem, Tom. Thank you. We hope to hear from you again next week.
You will.
See you then.
Joe, take it away. How did everything go? You excited? You ready to go?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely excited. Great first show. I just want to throw something out there. If you guys, you're at work and your boss is watching you close, or you're busy and you guys listen to us maybe the following day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Or maybe even you're a little bit shy and you don't want to call the show, and you want to discuss a topic that we talked about, or maybe even something that we didn't cover because it's only an hour show and we can't cover everything. If you want to discuss with me, you can tweet at me at JoeRB31. You can also find us at Jet Nation Radio, and you can find us at Jet Nation. And even if you don't want to talk to us, maybe you don't like mine and Brandon's opinions, or maybe you don't even have Twitter, you can go to jetnation.com and click on the forums. We have a whole bunch of great topics there. We have a whole bunch of great discussions about everything your New York Jets football.
Joe, that is a great point. The forums are a great place to check it out. If you want to, if you can't get enough Jets talk and you can't get enough, go check out jetnation.com. In the forums, a bunch of our callers tonight, like Glenn, are in the forums. They're talking football constantly. They're giving their opinions. It's a great place for Jets fans to talk to other Jets fans and form opinions and have conversation about New York Jets football. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I want to thank Jerry for taking the calls behind the screens. And I want to thank Christian Dyer from Metro for calling in. And we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.